Wow, that scripture reading, young man, my friend, very powerful. Thank you for sharing that from your hearts. You will see as we begin this Advent season, enclosed within your bulletin, a summary of our sermon series, Is There Still a Child Within? And of course, the scripture lessons and the sermon titles throughout this sermon series. The fourth Sunday of Advent is actually Christmas Eve this year, but please do take this home along with you, read the paragraph introducing the sermon series when you have some time, and also take a look at those scripture passages in advance. That's why we provide, share these with you, so that you can read these scriptures ahead of time to get your hearts and minds ready and prepared for worship prior to the Sunday Sabbath. So hope holds us. I want you to know something. Advent is not a season that the world fondly celebrates or necessarily embraces. What the world celebrates at this time of the year are lines of clothing at Target and Macy's and the Burlington Coat Factory. What the world celebrates before Christmas is having a Mercedes in everyone's driveway. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Yes. Santa Mercedes is bringing one our way. And of course, the run-up to Christmas for the world would not be complete without diamond necklaces, pendants, bracelets, or rings adorned somewhere upon your wife or your girlfriend at this same time of the year. Most men are prompted and prodded by guilt into buying diamonds everywhere, you know? You know what I mean, right? If the marketeers ever talk about hope, peace, joy, and love at all, it is only in an effort to separate you from your hard-earned money. And so it's clear, money and gifts, as enticing as they are, do not hold us at this time of the year. Hope holds us. Do you remember the little the story with that little character, Ralphie Parker, the character from the movie A Christmas Story? Any of you remember that? Yeah, well, little Ralphie got a taste for what advertisers were like all the way back in Gary, Indiana in the 1950s. Little Ralphie had been drinking Ovaltine. Perhaps you'll remember this from the movie, right? For months, he'd been drinking Ovaltine, saving up box tops so that finally he could get a little Orphan Annie secret decoder ring, and he waits and he waits, and finally the little decoder ring arrives, and he listens to little Orphan Annie on the radio waiting for the secret code message, and he carefully writes down the code, and then he rushes off to the bathroom to begin the decoding process. And the suspense builds as he decodes the first few letters. Be sure to what? The fate of the world could rest in little Ralphie's hands. His pencil flies as he feverishly struggles to decode the rest of the message. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Yeah, those advertisers, they will let you down every single time, even back in the 1950s. But in the church, we talk about hope and peace and joy and love on their own merits, don't we? And not as some kind of hook to buy something. And this Advent, it occurred to me that there is a profound connection between the Christ who is born in Bethlehem with children who clearly understand and embrace what each of our Advent themes means. You see, I believe that children are hopeful. They don't just hope for things like toys and bikes and doll sets and electronic games as much as they do hope for those kinds of things, but they also hope that people would get along. If you think that that is far removed or beyond the life of a child, you would be wrong. They hope that people get along. That threats made with missiles and rockets would become a thing of the past, and that men would learn to respect the women that they work with in the workplace. Doesn't seem like too much to ask. For children, yes, children believe that tomorrow should be better than today. Children believe that it is hope that holds us. Chuck Swindoll once wrote, "Well, we can live several weeks without food, days without water, only minutes without oxygen, but we cannot even live a moment without hope. We've got to have it." Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 12 is all about hope. Good news to the poor, help for the brokenhearted, freedom for the prisoner, comfort to all who mourn. Who brings this hope? Isaiah tells us that it is none other than the sovereign Lord. It is Jesus. But then I thought that many children hope for something that many of us take for granted. So I want you this morning to drop the letter P out of the word hope, and I want you to replace the letter P with the letter M. And now what word do you have? You have the word home. Hope and home, they always go together. Say that with me. Hope and home always go together. I have to tell you about a young Italian couple that Janet and Brittany and I met on our way flying back from the Dominican Republic from our summer vacation this year. The flights got off schedule, and so as it turned out, we had to stay overnight. And in the confusion of trying to sort out the passengers and who was getting on which flight, Janet and I noticed this Italian couple traveling by themselves, and it was clear that they didn't know what was going on. And so we were bumped off our flight, they were bumped off of their flight, and they were trying to get back home to Italy. And so we're sitting there in the departures lounge waiting for the next flight that had been arranged for us, and this Italian gentleman came over and sat down next to me because he could see that Janet and I were talking, And he said, "We go with you. We go with you. And I'm like, "Janet, this guy, what? So, we fixed up hotel rooms together, and we all had an overnight, and then got on our way. The following morning, we all walked to our gates together, and they were just an absolutely lovely couple. You see, their hope was to get home. That was their hope. And this ought to be our aspiration at Advent also. Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem to become an important historical figure. If you think that that's what God had on his heart and mind, that he would birth his royal son into Bethlehem so that he could achieve a name of greatness for himself, oh no, the whole purpose behind his birth is so that he could bring us home again. We have one brother who is already, he is home. This year, when you look up at your Christmas tree, or even the beautiful Christmas tree that we have here at church, look at the direction that it is pointing. It is pointing up. Why is it pointing up? Because it is pointing home. That is our destination. That is our journey. Up is home. Up is hope. You will have heard about the bounce back that children have, and I do believe that they have bounced back. There is some kind of tragedy or difficulty or hard time, and we say that kids are somehow resilient, and they are. Somehow they survive and they cope sometimes better than the adults do, and they manage to somehow get around to the other side of the heartbreak or the trauma. They get around it. Well, That's what we need to be doing too. If children can bounce back and Jesus encourages us to be like little children, doesn't he? Then Romans chapter 5 speaks loud and clear. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. Your hope for becoming a better person tomorrow than what you are today lies in the fact that you are a better person today than what you were yesterday. Can I get an amen? Yeah, that's so true. In September 1988, Hurricane Gilbert hit the Louisiana coast. At that time, it was considered to be a long time, of course, prior to any of these super hurricanes that we have, like Maria, that came along this year. But at that time, it was considered to be the storm of the century, and it battered the shoreline of Louisiana, severely disrupting the shrimping industry. And many shrimp boats were lost, causing great concern for several families that were dependent upon shrimping for their livelihood. And on the morning I was watching the news, and I watched an interview with a shrimp boat owner. And the reporter asked him how the storm was going to impact his shrimping. And with the devastation of Gilbert as the backdrop, you know, boats turned upside down and on their sides, this man said, "Well, there is a good side. The storm will have stirred up the bottom of the ocean, making it even better for us to go shrimping as soon as we can get our boats out there." That, my friends, is hope. Yes? Yesterday, at Wayne's funeral, several people shared with me their grief in having lost Wayne. And that is all of our grief. Our church, it will never be the same without him. Never. Because Wayne is gone. But here's my hope, and it's a hope that lays with little children. Within this congregation, just within the last few months, two brand new little babies have been born. Little Lance came along, and little Kiefer came along. And so, was it yesterday or the day before? Sarah, the Langs, have a new grandson. Sarah gave birth to little Brooks Robert on, I believe, a Saturday evening, so congratulations to the Langs. In just a short period of time, these little ones, these three little ones that were just born, they will possibly be joined by two more little babies. That's five new babies born into this congregation within just a matter of a few months. Hope holds us. And one of them, one of these five little babies, who knows, he or she may turn out to be like Wayne. Yeah? Now, if you can't find hope in that, my friends, I'm just going to have to leave the ministry and declare the whole enterprise of Christianity to be a complete fabrication and a falsehood. God never tests us to break us. He tests us to bring us to a place of hope. Hope holds us through the thick and the thin, the despair and the doubt, the pain and the longing, the crushed dreams and the unfulfilled purposes. And hope always leads us home. Come home this Christmas, my friends. Come home. And as you come to the cradle of Christ this Christmas, remember that as you are looking into that cradle, what it is that you are beholding, both a child, yes, but also the one who is our hope. Amen.